Welcome, hello. My name is Bella Anaharo, founder of Live Well Audio, and we help individuals, nonprofits, and companies improve their lives, build communities, profits, and positive impact. And today I'd like to talk to you about that whole field of activity that's beginning to blossom here in the UK and in Europe, that we're coming to know as the motivational, personal and professional development, conscious growth, self-help industry. The attitude towards it is often, yes, that's a nice idea, but what practical difference does it make to our lives? What results are we looking to experience? After all, we have to put roofs over our heads, clothes on our back, food on the table. So we need some tangible change. What I'd like to introduce to you is Marianne Williamson's thought, which is that your best thinking, your very best know-how has got you the life you're living. So if there's anything you want to transform or change, you might want to look at what other people know how to do. Avail yourself of other people's thinking. So with that in mind, I'd like to look at five areas. The area of self-help, the area of money, the area of business, the area of creativity, and finally of spirituality. And I'd like to pick a book, a single book in each of these areas, not as seminal books or the be-all and end-all, but they're very, very good starting places. They're very good places for us to begin to look at how we might go about making the required changes in our lives. The first person I'd like to look at is Melody Beattie. Way back in 1996, Melody Beattie was one of the first authors I stumbled onto as I inadvertently began a journey into helping myself live a better life than the one I was then living. Now, Melody Beattie is widely credited as popularizing the term codependency or codependence, which is a set of behaviors that are characterized by a tendency to behave in overly passive or excessively caretaking ways, which ultimately negatively impacts both our relationships and our quality of life. Codependency, as Melody Beattie sets it out for us, is often about putting our needs at a lower priority than others as we become excessively preoccupied with their needs. And codependency can occur in any type of relationship: families, work, friendships, romantic relationships, peer groups, or community relationships. Melody Beattie lays it out for us so that we can see that these behaviors are characterized by denial, a poor estimate of ourselves, excessive compliance in and within control patterns, which also means that we open ourselves up for relationships with narcissists who love to have other people's lives revolve around them. Melody Beattie has a website. It's www.melodybeattie.com, and her book is called Codependent No More. So some of the things that we experience when we go through her work and we work it, we get freedom, we get a fusion of energy because now we're not trying to take responsibility for other people's lives, and we can begin to grow our sense of belonging and connection on a healthier basis. So when you get a moment, pick up that book or at least visit her site. Now, in the area of money, Robert Kiyosaki and Barbara Stanley. When I read Robert Kiyosaki's work, So much about my financial life fell into place, such as why, with all my education, my financial life was unmanageable. Now, if, like me, you had inherited the idea that academic education is all you require to ensure financial well-being, and yet this isn't playing out in your life, Robert Kiyosaki's work will help illuminate the reasons for your financial condition and, more importantly, move you past it. His book sets out the lifelong monetary problems experienced by his quote unquote poor dad, who was a teacher with a weekly paycheck, which, whilst respectable, was never enough to meet his family's needs. And that is set as a counterpoint to his rich dad, who was in business. And the central idea behind this book is that the poor and the middle class work for money, but the rich have figured out how to get money to work for them. Now, whilst Kiyosaki does firmly believe in education, he also sees that our current educational system doesn't teach financial intelligence. So, if you're not getting financial literacy at home or in school, where do we get it? Now, if you're like me, you grew up in a home with lots of financial attitudes towards money, you very quickly discover that an attitude towards money is not the same as being literate about it. In the same way, an attitude about reading and writing is not the same as being able to read and write. So, Kiyosaki's teaching in the Rich Dad Poor Dad series is about filling this gap in our educational system, in our knowledge system, and trying to help people who want to be helped out of the rut of a safe, secure job into the freedom of real wealth. I think we all understand that the whole idea of a safe, secure job is very much a thing in the past. So Kiyosaki's work is so useful in this area. He has a website called www.richdad, and his book is called Rich Dad Poor Dad. He also has another useful book called Rich Dads Increase Your Financial IQ. Get smarter with money. Now, Barbara Stanney. I've included Barbara Stanney's work because of the combination of financial literacy and under-earning. Who even knew such a condition existed? But she sets out quite clearly the way in which financial non-literacy and under-earning will wreak havoc in your financial life. So, what is her definition of under-earning? Very basically, it amounts to habitually bringing in less money than it takes to support you, less money than it takes to support you, without even realizing it. So, you could be in a job that's paying you $30,000 a year. And no matter how hard you work at that job, it will only ever pay you $30,000 a year. You could be in a job that pays you $80,000 or $180,000. If your expenses come in at more than your job pays you and you keep on doing that job, guess what? You're under earning. So what she does is set out the reasons why people under earn and how you can turn that around. I'm always on the lookout for her work. She's very, very practical. And her site is www.barbarastanny.com. Now, business. I would like to look at Robert Allen. I credit Robert Allen with introducing me to the concept of multiple streams of income. Like most people, I had inherited the idea that you work for a living. If you don't work, you don't make money. Robert's work consistently introduces me to new ideas about money and new ideas about what qualifies as working for money. It was he who introduced me to the idea that you can create an infrastructure, a service which makes money, that does the work in your stead, and indeed have your money make money for you. Now, once you read his work and his concepts, you will have an aha moment. The light bulb will go on, and you'll say to yourself, "Of course." It's obvious once it's pointed out to you. But if you've lived a life where your parents were on a single paycheck or you had a single earner in the family, then these ideas will be a welcome relief to you. And his website is www.robertgallen.com. And his book is called Creating Multiple Streams of Income. Okay, now, in creativity, I'd like to talk about Natalie Goldberg, who is often referenced as a groundbreaker in mind exploration through writing. I always look out for her work as she's relevant not only for writers, but it seems to me anyone interested in freeing themselves from their interior critics. You know, all those reasons we give ourselves for why we can't do, be, have what we really long to do, be, and have. Now, Natalie Goldberg studied meditation with Zen master Katagiri Roshi at the Minnesota Zen Center for many years. Then, the way she tells it, one day, knowing of her interest in creativity, he said to her, "Well, why don't you make writing your practice? And if you go deep enough in writing, it will take you every place." So she did just that. And her work is a glorious way to bypass all the critical wolves baying at us whenever we produce something original in whatever sphere of life, whether it's parenting, work, relationships, or our relationship with ourselves. She introduces the idea of monkey mind. And monkey mind is actually a Buddhist term. It refers to mental activity that creates busyness, which keeps us away from our true hearts. She apparently is the author of the most popular how to write book ever. And she also happens to be Buddhist, totally irreverent, and fun. So that po-faced spirituality, which is often visited on us, is thankfully missing from her work. And her website is www.nataliegoldberg.com. And her book is called Writing Down the Bones. And finally, spirituality and Marianne Williamson. I have loved Marianne's work since I first encountered her in the mid-1990s. I had stumbled across A Course in Miracles in a bookshop in Camden Town, here in the UK. And on buying the book and taking it home, I opened it to find myself thinking, what is this? I'm telling you, I was not in any way, shape, or form prepared for what I was reading in those pages. I didn't even know how to go about working it, but synchronistically, Marianne had out tapes, remember those, and I began listening to her talks. Now, Marianne defines A Course in Miracles as a metaphysical thought system that teaches forgiveness as the road to inner peace and the remembrance of the unconditional love of God. And I credit her with helping me sort out love from all the things that masquerade as love. Through working with her materials and her teachings, a great sifting and discerning process began inside me, which helped me see how we get controlled by those who insist they're loving us, and yet when we're with them, we're somehow always in pain. What's all that about? She also has a new audiobook called A Course in Weight Loss, which is all about using spiritual principles to help you develop a new relationship to food. How you think about it, how you prepare it, and how you eat it. Marianne notes that her weight had merely been a physical manifestation of her need to keep other people at bay, and she feared that other people would somehow impinge on her. So she built a wall to protect herself. But through practicing the course, she learned to extend her hand across that wall. She learned to replace fear with love. She asked God to enter her life and make things right. And that wall has since disappeared. Now, it's important for you to realize that I'm not recommending A Course in Miracles. What I am doing is recommending Marianne's teachings because I think they can be applied to anyone's life. So, those are my books. Those are my recommendations. Do buy them, read them, use them, work them, because if you don't work them, they won't work for you. And on that note, I'd like to thank you for listening. To learn more about LiveWell Audio, visit our website at www.livewellaudio.com. I'm Bella Inaharo. Join me again next time for another episode from LiveWell Audio.